But you know what? We're gamers. We're in the building. We're here to perform Michael Jordan flu game-esque. Couple of heroes cutting it up today.
Songs will be written about us. Stories will be told. Tales will be told.
Tales will be told. That's tales the type of professionalism you can expect around here at Talking About Practice.
Tales will be tales.
And that's how we became Chico's number one sports talk show. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with no further ado, let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. You know the drill. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Rudy Vasquez is missing. Some people don't know how to bounce back from a long weekend with the boys. So he's at home licking his wounds, not feeling great. I think that FAU loss this weekend, I'm pretty sure he had some units riding on that. So I think he's not only not feeling great, but avoiding his bookie once again.
Yeah, and you know, when you're when you're that close to the action, it's hard to pull away, not from. Get your hand burnt. Yeah. You know,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
We tasted the fire. We got burnt, and Rudy is toasted right now.
That's correct.
Yeah,
but fortunately, we do have producer extraordinaire, the newest member of the Motorcycle Club, Stepman Brett.
Yeah.
He is a 99%er out there.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. He's part of the 99% of the good, clean motorcycle riders out there.
That's right.
It's a fun time. It's a lot of fun.
I'm sure it's a lot more fun as a 1%er, though. Think about it. Hell's Angels, if you need a new member, I got a ginger for you.
All right.
I don't think that will... You look at me and you look at Hell's Angels crew, I don't think that will really work out. I think they might use me as like... Look at him. He's a part of our crew. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Therefore, don't look at us.
When they need to diversify themselves in the Jew community, they got
100%.
You.
They got me.
There you go.
They have got me.
There you go.
Outside of that, I will not.
Probably not.
So as far
work out
as,
very well.
So you could be like the nice guy of the Hell's Angels.
I could be the spokesperson for them, public rep.
You go up to court for them. You do all that.
Exactly. I show up to court. I am the good face of Hell's Angels. I could do that. Easily.
That's correct. Before we get started, I know that our listening audience has expanded in the last couple of years. I know that the folks who have been listening to us for years are like, you don't need to explain the show to us. We got it, but we have had more and more folks listening. And so I just wanted to kind of explain the show to some folks and what we do here. So we follow a new show, Counterspin, a very serious news show covering social and nationwide issues of the sort. Our show is not that at all. Our show began just being a satirical take on sports. The entire idea is a bunch of buddies hanging out, inviting you to come hang out with us. We are experts in nothing, literally not even our own lives. We struggle there. So
I'm an expert in tomfoolery. I'm an expert in that.
Shenanigans.
We are great at shenanigans. But that's the entire gag of the show, is we just like to have fun. You know, ESPN is a 24-hour sports talk radio network. If you want games to be broken down, I promise you there's plenty of places to go for that. If you're looking for news, the closest we have is your satirical take on news, and we give you an update on sports in our area, from Chico State to prep sports with PV and Chico High. But other than that, there is the rare occasion where we talk about serious societal issues. other than that, it's all just jokes and us goofing around and giving each other a hard time.
Now, some of those jokes do fall flat and fail, and yes. they're not great. We toe a line many times, and we apologize for those moments. But at the same point in time, that's what you get when you get live, uncut, raw, unfiltered us. We sometimes test the boundaries a little bit, and we got to work on that, no doubt.
We have definitely crossed some lines, no doubt, yes. And we've tried to work on it. But you also, for us, you got to understand, we are one of the more diverse shows on KZFR. We have a half-Jewish dude, a half-black dude, a half-Mexican dude. We bring in all sorts of different genders and backgrounds and races to partake in the shenanigans, right? So we try to be very inclusive. Sometimes we fall short of that, but it's all in good nature, trying to have fun. And again, sometimes our jokes cross the line. Mm-hmm. But we try our best to avoid that, and we'll continue to try our best. So I think with that said, should we give them a warning and get back to the tomfoolery?
Drop it.
All right, let's do it. Warning. The views and opinions expressed during this radio show are solely those of the members of Talking About Practice. They do not reflect the policy nor position of KZFR or KZFR supporters.
I mean, seriously, why would you ever take our show seriously? It's so dumb. It is so dumb.
And that's pretty much the sentiment of the show. It's pretty dumb most of the time. But let's have some fun. You know, I wanted to start somewhere where we don't typically start, but I think when the women have a tournament like they just did in the NCAA, I think it just makes sense. It seems to be, my social media feed this morning, it was, I would say, 90% of the coverage, at least from the sports pages. Yesterday, they got 10 million viewers for that championship game between LSU and Iowa. There's a variety of reasons for that. And by the way, ladies, what I would like to say is welcome to the big time. And what that brings? A bunch of morons.
a lot of voices in here that you never would hear before. That starts sparking off a lot of stupid takes like we do on the show on a regular basis. That being said, congrats to the women's tournament for the show you did put on. For the first time, you really finally had stars you played to instead of coaches that you were luring up to.
Yes.
That's for the longest time with the women's sport was like, oh, look at these great coaches in college in general. Stop giving the coaches are great. I get it. But give the shine to these players right now. Let those stars shine. Let the personalities come through. And that's what we finally had in a women's tournament for the first time ever in that tournament ever. That's the first time you finally had legitimate stars going after each other and them giving them an actual face to this tournament, from Caitlin Clark to Angel Reese, all of them right there. It was a great way to prop up this beautiful event right now.
Well, for the first time ever, in my opinion, it's the first time I can remember, they actually gave context and did some storytelling for women's sports, right? I remember there's been so many times. I mean, this season alone, there was a game where and I forgot who it was, but it was two top 10 teams playing. Immediately after the game, ESPN cut to an XFL game. That never happens in men's sports. What they do in men's sports is there's a post game. They break down what just happened. They talk about the storylines. They talk about storylines moving forward, what this means for the season. And so to see the hype that was built deservingly around Caitlin Clark, who scored more points in the NCAA tournament than any one man or woman in the history of this tournament, this past tourney, and was just a phenom all tournament long. And that win against South Carolina, one of the larger upsets you'll see across sports this season, period. South Carolina was a heavy, heavy favorite. And so I just thought that it was cool to see that this is finally being done with the respect it should be given. And to your point, Derek, the fact that they're finally starting to give the players the spotlight, the fact that these players with NIL now can become brands and get paid off their brands, and that brand recognition is happening and actually paying dividends, I think is awesome for those ladies. One thing I thought that the women's tournament does so much better than the men's is they put it in an arena. They don't put it in domes. Aesthetically, these games in domes look terrible. Just look awful. from a viewing perspective. And you, the energy is so much better when it's in an arena and you have diehard fans. The energy in these domes is sterile. Basketball is not meant to be played in front of 100,000 people.
When the court is elevated off the floor and like everyone, the bench is like their chest is the bench, you know?
Yes.
It is so weird. It's so tacky. It's not natural, and I don't want to see it that way. Mm-hmm. Again, like you should. We should be in a classic, just a classic arena right there, an actual basketball arena, not a place that's fitted to put a basketball game in there. No, the actual basketball arena that's designed to host basketball games.
Yep.
I get it. You want to have as many people in there as possible. Mm. But you know what? You're going to get it anyway. You're going to find the seats. You're going to make the seats. You're going to find your way to get your money. You don't need to put on a subpar product out there for us to watch when we can have better ones out there, better put on a better environment. And like I said, about time the women's tournament put on this brilliant show by showcasing some of the talent that is out there as opposed to the coaches that are on the bench that are all boring to watch anyway. I'm sorry. I'm tired of hearing anything about Gino Auriemma anymore in my life. I get it. He was a great coach and went on a great run right now. I'm okay if I don't have to hear that name anymore in my life from here on out. Give me more Caitlin Clark. Give me more Angel Reese. I want that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think you're going to be hearing about him very often, but you're going to hear about Dawn from South Carolina and Coach Mulkey out
yes.
of LSU that used to be a Baylor coach. So you're going to hear a lot more about them because they're starting to the new trend of like this is their generation now.
Yeah, I agree with Derek. Mm-hmm. Enough with the coaches. Give these young ladies some shine. I think we talk enough about Kim Mulkey and her outfits and all of that. They get plenty of shine. What I thought they did is exceptionally well this tournament is we know the names.
Yes.
Of an Angel Reese, of a Caitlin Clark, and deservedly so. They came out and balled. I did think some of the backlash because of the trash talk was out of hand because we love it when the men do it.
Yeah.
And there certainly were some racial undertones that we don't need to cover all of that, but we really hated it when Angel Reese was pointing to the finger, which, by the way, Steph Curry did in Game 6, and we all loved it, and was, you know, doing the you-can't-see-me gesture. And she was being a jerk. Both things can be true. The trash talking can be awesome. Caitlin Clark has been a giant trash talker in the past, even in the last game against South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I hated that that was getting so much shine versus this is just a really great tournament, some major upsets,
mm-hmm.
and the championship game was actually fun. Well, let's just leave it there. We don't need to get so involved because we love when the men do it.
Yeah.
Right?
We also love sparking race wars as well, too.
And that's really true. That's true. We always have. And it's always sold well in sports.
Yeah. It's always
sold well in sports. You can get a team in Iowa that is predominantly white. I think they have one black gal in the starting lineup, but a predominantly white team versus a predominantly black team in LSU. That sells. That rates well. And if it didn't, then why did 9.9 million people tune in? It wasn't simply to see Caitlin Clark play.
I saw a video. It was the Iowa team warming up, and they're listening to like High School Musical. And then you go to the LSU.
And it's like Little Baby.
Yeah, it's like Little Baby. Yeah. Something that I was just like, yep, there we go. We got to stir the pot any way we can right now. Yeah. So.
And I loved what Angel Reese said afterwards when she was saying, you know, y'all were saying that I'm too ghetto, I'm too hood for this, you know, and I was doing this for, you know, I hope to leave this for other girls that look like me,
mm-hmm.
to let them know, to aspire to be something like this. And again, I just hate in sports when we prop these people up to be role models. I think college athletes, what they have to do, the sacrifices they have to make, they're finally getting some money, but they should be propped up, but not as role models. That's not their job. Raise your own kids, right? You be their role models. These people are athletes. If they're going to aspire to be like them, aspire to play like them, but they don't have to be great human beings all the time, right? And I did think that Angel Reese, she was saying afterwards, I was having my moment. And it's like, yeah, but Caitlin Clark was also having her moment, and you were going extra. You were being a jerk.
Yeah.
That's okay. We could say you were being a jerk, but also trash talking in women's sports is just as chill as it is in men's sports. It's fine.
And the idea that she was saying, like, I was defending the SEC brand and the SEC team with South Carolina, I'm like, that's such that's bull. No, just say that this is for my team, but then don't say that you were disrespected, that Caitlin Clark disrespected South Carolina, so therefore you have to defend that. It's like, no, that's South Carolina's to defend, not you, not LSU, and don't say this is an SEC thing, because it's not.
It was the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally, right?
Yeah.
Where you just found something to be offended by that you weren't actually offended by, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that was, I agree, that was ridiculous. But the tournament was a smashing success this year. I think 6 or 7 games rated better than any NBA game this season. And there's multiple reasons for that. The gambling perspective, the fact that if the NBA players don't care about the regular season, then why should we? Mm-hmm. And we've seen it just within our own group. I am a passionate NBA fan. I've watched less of other teams than I ever have this year of the regular season. I still watch a lot of Warriors games. Derek has barely watched any regular season unless it's on in the background. You don't seek it out.
I've probably had a combined game and a half this entire season right now. A watch game. Total time watched. Yeah. A full game and a half probably.
And if you needed any more evidence of like how the women's game is turning, look at the Final Four cheapest price tickets on the third market. For the men's, it was $97 in the cheap seats. For the women's, it was $226 or $262 for the cheap seats.
You did mention that off air. Again, you can't account for some of that, the fact that you're playing, you have 100,000 tickets available versus 19. But the environment for the women's Final Four has been so much better than the men's.
Yep.
And a lot of it has to do with where they're playing and how corporate the men's Final Four has become. But again,
it really is, because like the entire like front section of it is all reporters.
Yeah.
Like, why are we getting all these media people?
Give me student section.
I don't want the media there. The media should be in the up of the rafters. Yeah. They should be having to have oxygen tanks nearby and get closer to God so they can get their meals out faster. Okay, that's what they need to be doing. Not on the court. Not in my view of the game at all. I don't want to see them at all. I hate the fact that the media thinks this is their time to shine right now. No, stop it. You're raspberries all day long for them right now. I'm sorry. I got nothing else that will keep you on air.
All right, fair enough. Again, and I do see this trend continuing with the women. I just, again, would like to tell all the hardcore fans of women's college hoops that the bigger your sports gets, unfortunately, the more watered down it is. It's going to become, and you are going to get a lot of bad actors coming over and talking about your sport that have no idea what they're talking about. Welcome all the morons and idiots to college women's sports. That's what happens. So that'll be interesting. That's how you know you've made it to the big time.
Yeah, when you got more hatred out there than ever, you're doing well for yourself.
Exactly.
No? Yeah.
Let's talk about the men's side of things. Not nearly as interesting. The tournament's been insane. I shouldn't say not nearly as interesting. The tournament has been absolutely insane. And Derek and I had the pleasure of seeing that pandemonium on Saturday. We were in San Diego as the San Diego State took on FAU in Houston. We're in Pacific Beach, which is basically the heart of where all the college kids hang out in San Diego. All the SDSU students hang out there. So we are in the thick of things.
We were. Yeah. We were amongst the locals, as they would call themselves down there. And we had ourselves quite a day in general, I should say.
Man.
And it was, like I said, we all mentioned, we've never really been in an environment like that ever before, where a team wins it on a buzzer beater like that.
Right.
And I don't think a team has really ever, I know there have been buzzer beaters, but I don't think there was a team that actually won it, were down, and then they won it on that buzzer beater. I think there are a lot of them are ties that were buzzer beaters that have led to that. So that little tidbit of drama is even more so of a nice little feather in this little cap. And the way that it just erupted, the emotions, it was a cathartic moment, and something that you definitely will mark forever in your life of nice being in that situation that time.
I think that's so much of what we love about sports, right? I was hugging strangers, and I'm not an Aztecs fan. It was just a cool moment. I was so happy for those kids in there that got to watch. You know, I mean, imagine being a college student. Your team, what seed are they? Do you remember, Brad?
They were five.
They're a five seed.
Yeah,
five seed.
So you don't really...
Four and five in the championships.
Five seeds often don't get to a championship game. And to be there and see your team for the first time ever get to the championship while you're being a college student, I mean, what a cool experience for those kids. And the energy was just insane. Derek and I obviously were talking about that yesterday and saying, you know, we've never been in a situation where we've seen a buzzer beater like that that had so many stakes on the line in the heart of the city in which it happened, right? And that was just a really, really cool moment to experience. And it's why, in particular, I think we love college sports, right? Like, I didn't have anything riding on that game. A couple of our friends took SDSU big in that game. But it was just cool to be there, to see the energy. It was palpable. People were losing their ever-loving minds. Again, strangers hugging strangers, just random high fives. It was just a really cool experience.
And a very large bar tab.
That's correct.
Like the last time that San Diego made it, or as far as they did, was Sweet 16, both in 2011 and 2014. They lost to Connecticut in 2011 and Arizona in 2014. So it's been a while since they've actually made it this far, and let alone to the championship.
Championship game, one and on a buzzer beater to get yourself in there. I'm assuming they're probably going to get smacked by UConn tonight just because UConn is really good, and I did not realize that because that's what happens when you don't pay attention to college sports and you try to figure out a bracket. You get absolutely roasted out there because you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I join all the millions of people that don't know either. So part of the masses, so love to be there. That being said, this UConn team is really good. This is going to be a fun little final. Hopefully, I would love to see SDU pull it off all the way. We did have one of our friends, her husband, just on the spur of a moment, was able to get himself a ticket down there, and he's in Houston right now at this game to be able to watch it. Just that much of that's how crazy it was. You get a final, you go buy a $200 ticket, and you find your way to Houston any way you can. Thumbs out, boys. Thumbs out.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of an experience that kicks off in about 30 minutes here. We don't like prediction radio around here. I think UConn's going to win it, but I mean...
Prediction radio happened right now.
There you go. Yep.
Welcome, guys. That's as much prediction we do here.
Yep, we'll keep it light. But that was a real, real cool moment.
So shout out to the tournament, men and women. You put on a quality show this year.
Agreed.
Different styles it was. I feel for the first time you had stars on the women's side and you had a bunch of parody on the men's side, which is fun.
It has been fun.
Yeah.
A lot of upsets and parity across the board in both men's and women. So, good times. Let's talk about baseball.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of experiences, one of my good friends got us a suite at Petco Park for us to watch the Padres take on the Dodgers. And if you've never done a suite before, I don't think I ever want to go experience a game any other way.
Unless you're going to buy a suite for the rest of your life, don't do it.
Yeah, because it kind of ruins it because it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is so incredibly awesome. You get a private elevator to your suite. No one else can come to your suite unless they're part of your group. At least that's how Petco Park worked. You get private staff. You get your own bathrooms. It's just an awesome, awesome view and experience.
But again, you're in San Diego, a great town in general.
That park is just so cool.
And baseball's back. And baseball is back, baby. I spent a lot of my day today on my couch with the game on. Your Giants were playing this afternoon against the White Sox. They had themselves quite a day.
They had a home-run derby damn near
today. Themselves 7 home runs today, I believe it was. 7 home runs the Giants launched today in a 12-3 thumping over the White Sox, I believe was the final score, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So always nice to see when baseball's happening today, it's just like, all right, there we go. All right, you know, it's like it's like taking a nap on Sunday at the Masters, you know? That's coming up this Sunday as well. Can't wait for that nap to happen. That being said, baseball is back. It's glorious to see this. It's the new potential is there. The new season grows. And it just means summer's around the corner. And I can't wait for summer.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, Brad, Brad still can't get into Major League Baseball. I was talking to him about some of the rule changes. And so the floor is yours, sir.
All right, man. Talk away. I need to hear this.
I mean, I haven't watched a game this year. And I mean, we're only like, what, five games into the season so far.
A full weekend in.
So I haven't watched any games yet. I mean, I watched all the Japanese and the American games for the World Baseball Classic. Okay. I was glued into the World Baseball Classic. Loved it all. But yeah, just haven't gotten into it.
So what is what is it about it this new season? Is still
for the, for this season? I mean, I've gotten over what happened last year with the almost strike. Well, actually, the strike and then almost delayed the season. I'm over that. That's just how that's going to go. It's a business. But the way that their rules are, the pitch clocks. Apparently, you can't quick pitch, but they want it to go quicker. Like, all these different rules, I just can't get behind. I understand them. I've been studying the game in the sense of, like, watching what players are saying, what coaches are saying. So I'm understanding the strategy if I ever would get back into it of, like, what's going on in the game. I just can't get into it. It just doesn't appeal to me anymore.
Wow. Okay, well, I will say the MLB is experiencing the fastest games ever. Their games have been averaging 2 hours and 43 mm-hmm. minutes for this opening weekend. That's record time. And I, for one, I'm okay with it. There are definitely some issues with it I have, too. I think that they got to work out some kinks. I wish they, because there are certain things about the game that are great that do take a little bit longer. I get that. So I hope they can figure out certain ways to do that because of the pitch clock does add a certain element that is I do appreciate because I do hate it when you do see people just wasting time out there because that is a problem. That is something that happens very often throughout baseball where people are just trying to get it by and they're not really trying to throw a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens far too often. That's what's ruined it for us, and that's why we've had to put these games in there to weed out that thing of doing it. That being said, it has had some adverse effects in terms of the tensions that you can rise, the situations that you can put a pitcher into or a hitter or a base runner are all put into precarious situations when certain things happen.
Yeah.
Like essentially a base runner can essentially get a free base if he's able to get the pitcher to throw over there twice because he can't throw over there again. Yep. Once he's thrown over there twice, he can't throw over there again unless he pitches it and then he's off to the bag.
Or it gets him out.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's like I feel like it's not a bad idea to have a pitch clock. I really don't. It's the 30 seconds. I think it should be more, closer to 45 seconds, because by the time that, once that pitch ends, the pitch clock starts again. So a couple seconds to get back to the pitcher. The batter doesn't have enough time, really, when it comes down to it, to adjust himself, because you have to, as a batter, mentally adjust yourself for what just happened, what's the next pitch, what is his tendencies, and then get back into the spot. You only have about 3 or 4 seconds to do all of that, then get back in, set yourself up. And
you know, it definitely puts a lot of strain in the pitchers. I think definitely have gotten the more of the advantage in, in the situation 100%. When it comes to it, and you're already making the most difficult thing in sport more difficult, which I can understand being a detracting point for a lot of baseball purists out there. That being said, we're trying to get that new audience in there, and this new audience has no time for the tomfoolery. They don't want to care. They don't really care about the intricacies that the baseball players go through. They want to see action, and that's unfortunately what baseball has to do. They have to try to find a way of like, hey, guys, I know this is how baseball was played before, but you're paid a lot of money right now. Figure it out, because you need to get more audience in here, because you want that money to continue. We need more eyes on this game. So do me a favor, all you baseball purists out there. Suck it up. I'm sorry, and Brad, this goes to you right now. This game is not meant for you baseball purists. It's meant for the people who aren't watching the game anymore. And they want to bring them in there. Why? Because that's where the money is. And this game that these players make, they make the most out of any other sport out there.
Yeah.
They are ridiculously compensated. I mean, basketball is pretty crazy too, I will say now. But to these guys out there, the players, I'm sorry. Like, I get it. I can feel for you. But this is the game. This is what we have to do. You have to adapt to get eyes on there, because this new audience, this new generation of kids, they don't have time for the wasting it. They don't want to sit there and see non-action. They need to see a constant flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, that's what we're getting. And I know people don't like that, but I will say, I was watching a football game and a baseball game today. Now, you always know, a football game is no more than 2 hours, guaranteed. It stops at 90 minutes. You have a 15-minute interval and maybe some stoppage time in there. So 2 hours is really your limitation. That game was over right after that, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to see, and I'm okay with that, because it is speeding up that process. You're going to get, I think you're going to get more action out of there. You are getting more action, and you're going to get the more eyes, and that's what baseball really needs.
And I really hope it grows, because, I mean, before the season and last, it was dying quickly, and it wasn't even, like, just slowly happening. It was quickly happening the past couple of years, where you're seeing attendance drop, especially at AT&T Park, or what at Oracle, whatever it is now.
What so. I would say is, in the other evening watching the game, because of the experience, I was like, I wish this game was a little bit longer. I wish, you know, because it moves so fast. But I think that I don't typically watch a game from a suite, so yeah, I knew this exactly. This isn't an everyday thing. I think for the most part, there's been so many Giants games where by midway through the seventh, I'm like, all right, let's get this thing going. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go grab some drinks with the friends. I'm ready to grab dinner, whatever.
Not to mention, it gets really cold in the Bay yes. at nighttime, and you're like, I wanna, you know, this cold breeze is not helping out the cause of this game prolonging itself.
I wonder how long it's going to take for those Seagulls to get right back on track with that game ending. If you've ever been down to those games, the Seagulls are on it. Like, right once those games end, they're at it. So I'm wondering if that's going to take a while for them to change their...
Life finds a way, bro.
Yeah, you know, I've never actually wondered that, and I don't think I ever will, yeah, even yeah. after you've said it. I don't think I'll ever find any concern in my life about, man, are the Eagles...
Seagulls.
Are the Seagulls off track now? Do they think it's, like, daylight saving time, or, like...
Wait, they're not there anymore? Wait, I'm late to the party? No, Bill, save me some peanuts. I want some popcorn. Wait,
where are the fries go?
Mine.
Exactly. It concerns me. It keeps me up at night.
That's
unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. Let's reset the show. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We want to give a big shout-out to our friends at Blue Sky Events, presenting the Chico Spring Jam on April 29th at the historic Patrick Ranch. This day-long event features nonstop entertainment with two stages of music, dancing, the Eagles, Foreigner, and the Cars tribute bands, BBQ and brews, food trucks, Kid Zone, and more. There's also the return of KZFR local stage with Loki Mike. Oh, sorry. The Loki Miller Band. Loki Mike. What happened there? Oh, Bachelor Party got me. Yurkovich, the River Road Band, and KZFR DJs. Tickets and details at blueskyevents.com. Thank you to Blue Sky Events. Thank you to Patrick Riley with Century 21 Select. And again, thank you to you, all our listeners out there that listen to our nonsense week in, week out. We appreciate y'all hanging out. No foreign correspondent this week, but don't worry. We do have the news. Oh, wait. No, we don't. Yes, we do. We do have the news. I knew it was somewhere around here. Live radio.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is Rachel. Time for the news. So we go international with our news. We go over to the Netherlands, where my man Jonathan Jacob Meijer, 41-year-old, is having himself quite a life right now. Now, for those of you out there worried about the population of the world and think it's going on a bad path, that the decline is not good for us, Jonathan is doing his part to make sure that does not happen. He is putting himself out there in more ways than one. Actually, just one way he's putting him out there, but in multiple facets of this. So my man, Jonathan Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, I want to keep saying that, but it's Jonathan Jacob Meijer, is having himself known as a serial sperm donor. That's right. My man, Jonathan, has donated sperm to over 13 clinics, 11 of them in the Netherlands alone. And in 2017, was blacklisted for fathering over 102 kids.
Holy cow.
My man, Jonathan's getting around. 102 kids he's fathered. And they say the cap is at 13 because they don't want to have any possible acts of incest happening or the trauma a child might find out of having a sibling out there that he never knew about. But it doesn't stop there, because my man Jonathan just wanted to keep going. My man Jonathan felt the need to spread as much seed as possible and reported to father over 400 more children. So that is right, 550 children my man has fathered at this point in time in life, where he is, again, like I said, blacklisted out of the Netherlands, but he is finding ways to get it out in all places more, from Denmark, Ukraine, to Kenya as well. He is all over the place. Literally. So, careful out there. If you're going international and you need a sperm, try to avoid Jonathan, I would say. Because, you know, spice up the diversity a little bit.
Seriously.
My goodness.
I wonder if, like, at a certain age, like, hey, so there's, like, 700 of your siblings out there.
And that is the problem right now. There is now a lawsuit going against this man because there needs to be some stoppage of this because this is clearly too much of this one person out there. We don't need this many Jonathan Jacob Meisers out there. So the lawsuit is saying that this is a problem that can cause problems of incest or, again, the trauma of a child finding out that they have a myriad sibling. So careful out there. Have some responsibility. And I get it. You want to help out the population. But you know what? I think we probably should just snip him up right now. I think he's done enough. I think you've done your part.
Fix
550
him.
Kids. That's a lot.
But a great family reunion.
You know, my man can procreate. That's for sure. At least you know it's fertile.
Can you imagine if you had to put child support on all those kids?
Oh!
Well, I was thinking about that, but obviously he's a sperm bank, so
understood.
The woman's obviously going in there wanting this. But again, she probably didn't want to know that, like, there's 549 other people out there with this guy, you know? Like, I want some uniqueness, right? I don't know. I'm not choosing sperm to impregnate myself, but I think
if you were, you would want...
I want something unique, kind of.
Yeah, give me that new.
Yeah, give me the new one.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't want that old Jonathan out there. No. That's... Put it on the shelves. All right, one more story for you. More about procreation. But this one, we go to the animal kingdom. And we keep it, again, international. Where we go into my favorite group of animals out there ever.
Yes.
Hippos.
Yes.
Woo! Now, if you know, Colombia, not a place where hippos live. But...
Not naturally.
Correct word. Yes, thank you, Jerome. Not naturally. But, my man Pablo, when you got yourself millions and billions of dollars from cocaine, you can do what you want. So he brought in a myriad of animals. From hippos, giraffes, all of this sort. And the hippos have thrived there. When Pablo Escobar was executed, his compound was essentially let loose, and all the animals were allowed to roam free. And now those hippos, that four of them initially, have turned into 150. So not as fast as Jonathan out there, but they're doing their part. Now, the government is trying to get rid of those hippos because those hippos can cause a bad ecological problem because there are no natural predators to these hippos. And if you get too much of a hippo, it's a bad thing. All right? Too many hippos, not good. You know, all right? I'm just saying, hippos, very territorial, very vicious, and will kill anything and anyone.
They kill more humans in Africa than any other animal on the continent.
That should scare you. Because if you don't realize, Africa's got a lot of crazy things out there. And, like, hippos are not one of them. Hippos are, like, the least crazy things out there in Africa. And they kill the more people. Like, that's the unassuming nerd that's, like, the serial killer. You know, that's Jeffrey Dahmer-esque right there. Like, that's pretty much what hippos are. Jeffrey Dahmers of the animal kingdom.
Yeah, just a reminder, Africa has crocodiles and hyenas and lions and elephants. And hippos kill more people.
Cheetahs.
Yeah.
Cheetahs.
And the only, like, predator for them is the Nile crocodiles, lions, and spotted hyenas, but basically only on young hippos.
Oh,
and
young
at that
hippos,
point, you're done.
Like, if you get a full-grown dog, well, you need a full pride of lions on there, okay? Simba ain't taking that one down, that's for sure. So, the Colombian government is facing that problem and trying to realize they need to get rid of these hippos. But they are facing a problem because the people in the local town where the hippos are love these hippos. I don't deny them. The hippos are glorious. But they need to get rid of them because these hippos can expand to over 1,500 in the next decade, they believe. So, it's going to cost them a lot, though. And that's the problem that Colombia is now facing, is the price of getting rid of these hippos is going to cost nearly $5 million just to eradicate some hippo action.
I feel like you get a few doctors from America to go down there for exotic hunting.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like you don't even need the $5 million.
Where's the big game hunting app? They pay you $5 million to kill the hippos. That's what you should do. Put a price on these hippos' head and...
I think you got a good business right there.
Who wants to
make the money.
I don't know if I want to shoot it.
I wouldn't want to shoot a hippo. It's not...
I wonder, do people eat hippos? Is that ever a thing? I mean, I gotta feel like, you know...
I feel like all meat really goes somewhere.
Obviously, something eats it.
Yes.
But, you know, like, has it ever been consumed in a human diet before?
I imagine the desperation.
Yeah, I mean, privilege. We are a very privileged place to be right now to think that I don't have to think of a hippo as food.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
I can only imagine someone who, you know, would have to eat a hippo is probably very desperate or just found themselves very lucky and just killed something accidentally.
It's commonly eaten in West Africa and sold as an expensive delicacy across northern Congo.
Does it say what it tastes like by any chance? Or
I will. It's
going to look it up for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we look up what the taste of a hippo is. that's the news, y'all.
All right. Very good, sir. Usually this is a point in the show where Erin joins us. Erin is unavailable this week as she is going sledding right now because where she lives in Utah, still getting tons of snow.
They're getting dumped on. It's a glorious place out in Salt Lake City, and sledding is tons of fun.
Beautiful country out there, as you can attest to, even though you almost broke your butt sledding when you were there.
Yes, I did.
Erin is taking some friends out sledding, so we hope she's having a great time. We'll obviously have Erin back next week, as I know she'll be glued to the Masters, and she does a great job for us covering golf, hockey, UFC, all of that. So I know she'll be checking for the Masters this weekend.
So hippos encompass everything from sweet to savory, back to the very firm texture, kind of like beef. But it's hippos, so it's got a gamey flavor to it as well.
Okay. Naturally.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
For some reason, I feel like it would taste like rubbery.
But you're looking at the skin, which makes sense, exactly. And it's a lot of fat that you have to go through. But under that, you're gonna have the meat
That being said, it's actually a lot of muscle in that.
Oh, yes,
a lot of muscle in that bad boy. Yeah. They're strong little beasts out there, and adorable. Okay, baby hippos.
Oh my
baby
gosh, hippos they are the most adorable like, so babies cute. In the world.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. They are.
I still eat one though.
They're so cute.
Yeah,
adult. Yes, of course.
That's died of natural causes. A bullet to the head.
Again, the show's satire.
From Colombia, of course. From Colombia, of course, because they're...
You're trying to eradicate these hippos.
Yes, we're trying to help that out.
In the environment, yes.
By eating
them. This is how we do it, yes.
I mean, we do this so often as humans, where we introduce a foreign species to a native population, and it always creates problems. And I just do not understand the black market. Like, I think everyone thinks, in theory, it would be a great idea to... Oh, yeah, that's my giraffe in the backyard. But... just stop doing that. Yeah.
It's just a flex of money, though. That's
it really is.
Ego. It's such an ego thing.
That's
when you got
true.
Money, you're like, what else can I spend my money on?
Yeah.
I mean, me right here, I'll take it. But, you know, they want to get a draft and they don't want to spend it on me.
It's so dumb. And you're right. It is just a giant flex. Are you ready for your North State update, sir?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
All right. Very good. Let's get caught up on how some of our teams locally are doing.
He's got facts. He's got stats, and his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
That is right. It's time for the North State Update, and we're going to start off with the Chico State baseball as they played against Cal State East Bay at home. Not a bad weekend. It was a split weekend. Went to extras on the first on Saturday on their second game for the doubleheader. The Wildcats lost in 10 innings, 5-8. They came back on Saturday and won the doubleheader, 6-5 and 4-3 in a 9-inning bout. Again, on that second doubleheader, if you want to do that again. Remember, on the doubleheader on that second game is a 7-inning game, so it went into extra innings for that one. But come back on Sunday and lose 9-13. So, unfortunately, end of the weekend on a loss, but they had an extra game today against Hawaii Pacific, and they won 6-1 against a 10-20 Hawaii Pacific. The Wildcats are now 15-10 overall, 9-6 in conference. And they will be headed down to Cal State Monterey Bay this weekend as they will be playing Thursday at 3 p.m. They'll have a doubleheader on Friday and then a single game on Saturday, which is different than what the normal schedule is. But things are changing, especially with the weather, and they're trying to get them in as needed. And, it's the weather's been screwing up a lot of the season, so they've already had at least 5 games that have been canceled for the season. So we'll see how that affects for the rankings for the North or for the West region when playoffs comes to town. So we've got a lot more series left to go though. Now going to softball, different story. A really different story. They were above 500, but after this weekend they dropped 3 at the end of the tournament.
They're now 13-15 with a 9-6 overall record after they played in the Tournament of Champions. They played against Holy Names, beat them 10-7, came against Simon Fraser out of Oregon, and they lost 5-0. Or they won 5-0, but that's when everything went downhill. They played against St. Martin's, Dominican, and West Oregon and lost all of them in one-run games. 1-2, 2-3, and 2-3 in an 8-inning game. And remember, softball, 7-inning games, flat out, even when there's doubleheaders. So, unfortunate turn of events at the Tournament of Champions, but they have a chance to turn it around as they have this Friday. Cal State Dominguez Hills, they'll be hosting, and doubleheader on Friday and Saturday. So hopefully they can turn it around. Again, a lot of season left for both of these teams. And if they get hot at the right time, going into conference play, they have a good chance to make it into the West Region playoffs, which is always Chico State's goal, is make it into the tournament. And these two teams still have the skill and the ability to do it. It's just whether or not they perform at that high level that they can do it. So that is my North State update.
One more for you, sir. Hold on. Here it is.
Love it.
That was the Wildcat, right?
Yeah, that was Wildcat.
That was no, obviously
I want. So we haven't done it in a while, so I want to remind people the Panther for the Chico High Panthers. Knock it in. Perfect. Now let's give them Chico State. Just remind them.
The Wildcat?
The Wildcat, yes. Okay. Completely different. Vastly different. Yeah.
Again, Chico High Panthers.
Yes.
Perfect. Panther, 100% Panther.
Yep.
Obviously.
Now, that there was a different inflection there. Now, let's hear Chico State Wildcats. A little bit higher. The higher inflection right there.
Wild.
Yep.
Wildcat. So, made up animal right there.
Yep, that's right. But
Wildcat nonetheless.
We did find
the sound of
a sound for a Wildcat. So
because we're in depth.
We got it.
You're welcome, America.
Yes.
All right, so you want to do some foot and mouth?
Let's do it.
All right. It's been a while. Let's get you caught up on the world of football.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out of a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, yes. Now, I alluded to you earlier that today I was watching football and some baseball at the same exact time because my Evertonians, the Toppers, hosted good old Tottenham Hotspurs at Goodison Park, where Tottenham, coming off a pretty crazy week after they sacked their manager, Antonio Conte, the Italian legend, the masterclass of managers out there, after he went on a rant about the club saying how Tottenham does not have the right culture there to win, the players there are only after themselves, pretty much ripping every single one there a new one, and making sure the people that ran Tottenham, the board, knew he didn't like their position at all and thought they were all trash, essentially. Can't really keep your working relationship after that. So, they parted ways. So, Antonio Conte gone. Tottenham, who's in a fight for the top four. A massive fight for the top four with Man United and Newcastle United, are desperately needing as many points as possible to secure that spot in Champions League play next year, because that's what it's all about right now. They're not going to get a title this year, no. That's typical Tottenham fashion. No trophies for you. But you still can get in Champions League, and Champions League is still a mighty prize for anyone to gain. So what do? They go into Goodison Park against my Evertonians, where once again, as I will say, this Everton team is very difficult to watch. They don't like putting the ball in the back of the net, unfortunately, which is kind of an important thing to do if you want to survive in the Premier League. But one thing we do, especially in the new Sean Dyche era, we play defense. We make this game difficult for you. And that's what Everton did today when Tottenham went onto the pitch. For the first half, they didn't hold possession, but they dominated the game and putting their pressure on Tottenham, making it nearly impossible for them to get anything going, and putting a nice little press on them. Now, the game continued into the second half, where it was an unfortunate situation that got Abdoulaye Doucouré sent off with a red card after he put hands to the face against Harry Kane. Can't do that in this league. Hands to the face is usually automatic red, no matter if it was in retaliation to something that was done to you on the pitch. putting hands in the face or up in the neck, usually going to get you sent off, and it did for Decore. Terrible thing to do for your team in Everton. We go down to 10 men with over 30 minutes to play left in the game. That is a tough place to put your team into. No one's happy with him, and it's going to be bad because he's been playing fantastic for Evertonian. He's been a great box-to-box midfielder for us, and having him sent off is a tough, tough loss because of the oncoming suspension that will happen, too. You don't just lose him for this game. You lose him for the next few after as well. But I wouldn't say but. I would say naturally I put my head in the sand and thought this game was over. We're going to lose, dropping 3 points, and we're going to be for sure in the bottom three for the next week and possibly could have put ourselves in the relegation fight that would be damn near impossible to get out of. And that's what happened. We got down 1-0 after a penalty that happened for Michael Keane, who essentially tripped a Tottenham player in the box. That was a very tough penalty to give away, but a penalty nonetheless. And Harry Kane does what Harry Kane does, except when it comes to the World Cup play. He puts the ball in the back of the net when it comes to the PK. So we're down 1-0. 1-0, and this Evertonian team is having trouble finding any type of action inside the final third. Luckily for them, a stupid mistake by Lucas Moura in the 87th minute gets him sent off with a red card as well, and a harsh tackle on Michael Keane. So 10-on-10 we got for the last couple minutes of play. I don't have much hope. I know I should, but they haven't given me much hope. Reason to have hope. But sure enough, in the 90th minute, Michael Keane, the man who I've thrown on the bus multiple times, the man who I wish was off my Evertonian team for the past 2 years, came in a clutch and launched a thunderous strike from outside the box. Vincent Kompany-esque. Securing Evertonian a point that was so vital. Got them out of the third for the next week right now. A little bit of safety is all that you need right now. My goodness, was it a strike. A thunderous strike from the defender outside the box that was nestled in the top bins. Top corner of that. Hugo Lloris didn't even attempt to save. Goodison erupts in ecstasy. What a glorious moment it was. I went nuts in my apartment. My goodness, where am I at right now? In my apartment, I was going nuts thinking that we have just climbed out the depths of hell. My goodness, was it a sight to see. What a place it would have been. What an atmosphere to witness. So, yet again, Tottenham failed to get all 3 points. You're still in the top four right now with that point, but those drop two were massive. So that tie you had for Tottenham was more like a loss, and that tie for Everton was more like a win. And I'll take that any day of the week. So that's your Evertonian updates. Had to take you there. It was a very emotional day for me as I saw them go up and down in my hearts and in my minds. So we have a bottom three right now: Southampton, Leicester, and Leeds. All separated. Southampton 23, Leeds 26, but the next four teams above them, 27 points. Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, Everton, and West Ham, all with 27 points. Wolves with 28. Crystal Palace got themselves a huge victory this weekend, giving them a little bit of breathing room. So they got 30 points right now, but 28 points, 5 points between 20th and 13th. This relegation battle is going to be one for the ages, probably the best one we've ever seen. So tune in, guys. These are great matches to happen. Fighting for survival is honestly more interesting to watch than fighting for victory. Mm-hmm. Now, the week did continue. There were still games to be played. Man City had their way with Liverpool on Saturday with a 4-1 thrumping in the Etihad. This is coming after Liverpool had that amazing 7-0 victory against Man United. They have not won a game since. Been dropping points left and right. And this is another example of that fine moment in time where it looks like Pep is showing his class over Klopp. And Man City thought they had a chance to get back in the title race. But what does Arsenal do? They defeat Leeds 4-1 as well. So they maintain their 8-point lead over Man City. But again, the fight right now is for the top four. 3 and 4. 3 and 4 are needed between three teams. Man United, Tottenham, and Newcastle all tied with 50 points. But Newcastle and Tottenham both have Man United on goal difference. Massive goal difference. So Man United, you need some serious points if you want to maintain your championship level next year. You could win the Europa League, but get in the top four. That's more meaningful. So it has been a crazy, crazy weekend for all the football right now. I do have to give a special shout-out over into the Serie A. I haven't paid much attention to other leagues out there, and I know that's bad. I don't have much time, so I got to do what I can. But in Serie A right now, you got to give shouts to Napoli. That team right now is only steps away from securing the Scudetto after years of being vacant from it. The last time they won it, a man by the name of Diego Maradona was there lifting it for them. Now is their time to shine, and they have a chance to even great work when the Champions League, as we had one of the favorites to actually lift that trophy too. So shouts over to Serie A and Napoli, as they are steps away from securing that title as well. But the Premier League, that's where the action's at. It's going to be fun right now. Arsenal, again, that hand on the trophy is still there. Man City is looking for you to slip up, but still a lot of points to overcome. But where the action is at the bottom of the table. That fight for survival will be everything. So check it out, y'all. It's a great end of the season. That's good mouth, y'all.
Appreciate it, sir. Do you guys think we have enough time for a question, or should we talk hoops?
I don't think we got enough time. Let's talk hoops.
Let's talk some hoops.
Let's talk some
hoops. You got to get some kings some shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the hoop world right now.
Speaking of which, we did get someone who sent us in a song they have made for the Sacramento Kings.
Ooh.
We'll get to that next week once the playoffs start.
Love it.
I didn't edit it quick enough, so I apologize. It was...
Well, we're perfect for the playoffs. We made it for the playoffs.
Perfect for the playoffs.
Perfect for the playoffs.
Like the beam, baby. The Kings look great. I got it. I have a stat for you guys, and I totally forgot about this. So, if you guys had a guess, how many teams in the Western Conference have a winning road record this season? How many teams would you guess?
One.
You're asking, so I'm going to say low. I'm going to say three.
It is one.
It's only the Kings.
It is the Kings.
Yep. Only the Kings. Wow.
Only the Kings have a winning road record this season in the West. Matter of fact, the West is so stacked up that 5 through 7 or 5 through 8 are all separated by a half game right now. And the Lakers have made this insane push lately where they have won 10 of the last 14. They're actually looking pretty decent. And so my question to you boys is, who do you think will go farther this postseason? Warriors, Lakers?
It's probably going to be the Warriors. Wow, I'm about to say the Warriors. No, I'm going to say the Lakers. LeBron coming back from his injury right now, the pieces that the Lakers added, I think is a lot. They made the right moves on there. While the Warriors, it just hasn't been your year. This has not been the season that I think anyone wanted to have, especially after winning the championship last year. You thought this is a special run we're going on again. But it's not working out that well. You're not as deep, not nearly as much as the Lakers are. And if Clay or Steph aren't shooting, it's damn near impossible for you to win. And when you guys, neither of them are shooting, you cannot win.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. You're absolutely right there. It has been... it has been challenging, to say the least, for the Dubs, especially on the road. And I would say this, that if it was any other team, I wouldn't believe that they had any shot to make any noise for the Warriors with that road record. But being that it is the defending champs, being that we've seen them do it before, and being that they thrive, and we saw this last year, they absolutely thrive in having doubters, so to speak, in the hate. That's when they play their best. It's just so hard to write them off. But again, I know that's my own bias. That's my own experience with this team that has proven when they're the underdog, they can...
So the matchups are going to be a lot in this the way this turns out, from the playing game to who actually gets solidified in there.
Yeah.
The matchups are going to be huge. I think... It's going to suck for the I think for anyone, really. No one really gets a super easy pass,
right?
Especially at the top. If Sacramento somehow does pull Golden State, that's going to be a tough one to go for. That would be a fun series to watch, the battle for the North State right there.
Yep.
And that's something I could see, just the experience of the Warriors working in the first round or two. I can definitely see them being able to pull off a series victory, maybe two in there. They might get a little bit further, but I don't see them going. That's not winning the championship this year, but... the experience they do have is going to be a tough factor for anyone to face in the first round, and that's going to be a brutal matchup for anyone that gets them. And the Lakers, any for that matter. The Lakers are not going to be fun either. The Clippers, they're still the Clippers. Phoenix is Phoenix.
The West is going to be fun, man.
Yeah.
The West is going to be a whole lot of fun. Did you have something, sir?
I was about to say, if I were the Lakers or the Warriors, I'd rather play Memphis than I would the Kings, to be honest, for the first round. I know the travel is going to be a little bit different, but I think the Kings are on such a tear right now this year, and Memphis has been slowing down as the season has gone on. So I'd rather take them than I would the Kings, especially the Kings first time back, and they're going to be home most of the time.
And that home crowd
is going to be, I mean, they're already nuts with them being bad, but they've been a different sort of crazy since they've gotten good. And that loyal fan base has stuck around. It's not newcomers. It's the old fan base like you saw with the Warriors back in the day in the We Believe era.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think we've seen a crowd like this since the Warriors played in Roracle before they moved to San Francisco. Now it's very corporate and a bunch of tech dorks, and it's just you got to give it to both Memphis and Sacramento have incredible home crowds. So
I would say if Sacramento doesn't hand out cowbells to everyone in that first
game, they should. They absolutely
should.